Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here on a Tuesday night. And as always, I'm joined by my guy, Jack Heinrich. We are in separate locations today because I'm feeling under the weather for the second time in 2 weeks. So, Jack, you're welcome. I'm not in to get you sick because I know we've both been dealing with illnesses for the last month or so.
Yep, much appreciated. Hopefully you feel better soon and it gets out of everyone involved with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, it is the season. Fortunately, it is not the norovirus that was ripping through the Blackhawks locker room the last couple of weeks. But hey, we were both at the United Center last night, and this is where we're going to start because I don't know about you, Jack, but I had a very hard time going to sleep last night because of the atmosphere that we witnessed at the United Center, not just with the return of Jonathan Toews, but Caleb Williams and Pete Crow Armstrong, PCA, making a surprise appearance, which we'll get to that in the second segment. I want to focus this first segment on the return of Jonathan Toews, though. And boy, oh boy, that was as memorable of a night at the United Center as we've seen in a very long time. And I think I didn't know that it was going to be possible to top the Patrick Kane ovation when he returned from the Detroit Red Wings for the Detroit Red Wings for the first time as a member of Detroit. But my goodness, that ovation that happened during the first TV timeout was nothing short of spectacular. I had goosebumps, Jack. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that was crazy because we were both at the Kane one, and that day was hectic because it was Chelios's jersey retirement. I remember we were doing a remote, and it was a Sunday, and it was like I think Kane met the media at his hotel. It was just a whole day event. And then the Toews one was a little more low-key on a Monday night, and that ovation was crazy. I didn't think they could go as long as they did, and Toews wanted it to wrap up, but it was cool to be a part of because you can see when there's a legend in the city of Chicago what the city will do for you. If you love them, they love you back like 100 times harder, and I think they showed that, and it went viral. So, I mean, they showed it to the world, basically.
That's a great point. I actually did forget about the Patrick Kane thing, how it was the second of a back-to-back for Detroit. So we had to, that was an early morning for us where we had to go to the hotel. It was a very long day. I want to say I might have hung around the city the entire day. And I remember being gassed by the end of that day or by the end of that night because it was such a long day. But with Jonathan Toews returning, it was nice that we got to talk to him at morning skate. He was kind of reflective on his time. We got to see him skate on the United Center ice. And then it was kind of, we show up to the game and it's kind of in game mode. And we're going to dive deeper into the standing ovation and just the entire experience itself. But I want to hear from Jonathan Toews after the game, just on the experience, the reception that he got, and much more. Here is the former Blackhawks captain after the game last night.
John, how was that evening compared to what you might have expected tonight?
I mean, it blew me away, obviously. It's a crazy moment to, again, get that reception from the fans. And, you know, pretty special, something I remember forever.
They didn't want to stop. They wanted you to keep going out there with them.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like forever. So, not sure what to do after a while in that situation. The boys kept telling me to go do another lap. And pretty special.
Did you see the signs, too, that were out there?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, again, like I said, I tried to do my best to take it all in, really savor it, to really appreciate the love from the fans. And obviously, you know, spent some special years here in Chicago, and that's what made playing for the Blackhawks so great. I mean, winning championships, all that stuff aside, just playing for a sports team in this city and calling this home for as long as I did was just incredible, and can't thank them enough. So, always be home and have a special place in my heart.
How hard was it to get back focused on the game once the puck dropped again?
Honestly, surprisingly, I was just kind of excited that I could just play hockey after that. And, you know, it felt like our line was creating tonight. We had our chances. Just, you know, I think they did a good job of clearing, you know, second chance and pucks around their net, and didn't quite sustain enough in their zone to find a way. So got to give them credit for how they played defensively, and we'd love to find a way to get a couple and get things rolling offensively tonight, but it's the way it goes sometimes.
Any part of you just relieved to have these kind of milestone games over and just try to focus on getting back into the playoff mixer?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I said, you know, you want to have your cake and eat it too, and when you have a game like this, to go out there and have a productive night and get a big win. But you know, these are aside from everything, it's a big division game for us with where we are in the standings, and you know, every chance we get, we got to try and gain some ground. So obviously we didn't get that job done tonight.
You have to say a lot of family and friends here. Does that make that moment even more special to have your parents see how much? I mean, they knew obviously, but to be there for that, do you think?
For sure. You know, it's special for your family and friends to get to reminisce, and you know, even getting to see a couple of guys that still stuck around from the weekend. You know, life moves fast, things change, and it's fun to get the chance to look back and kind of connect with your family and friends and some of the guys you play with. That you know, we all obviously consider ourselves very lucky for all the years that we play together here.
As an opponent, what do you see from the opposite bench against this young Hawks team?
I mean, like I said, they played really well defensively. You know, I think they're obviously growing as a team. They got some young talent, but they play with a lot of speed, and I think you're seeing some more poise in their game, the way they play defensively, and the way they killed penalties too. So, got to give them credit. They played well tonight.
Were there moments last couple of years where you wondered maybe I won't have a night like this?
You mean like if I was going to play again?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I never really thought of that specifically. I'm just happy I'm out there playing again. You know, that's all I can really ask for. And, you know, I think there's been quite a few challenges, even just getting back into the league and being with a new team this year. And a lot of little things that you got to work through to get your game back to be able to play at this level and you know, help your team. And then, you know, it's times like this that really help you not take for granted how difficult it is to play at this level. I mean, the league just keeps getting better, and even, you know, a team like Chicago that did a couple tough years, and then they're right back in the mix too. So, you know, happy to get the chance to go out there and play. And all that aside, play for my hometown team is another dream come true as well.
Thanks, guys. All right, how about that, Blackhawks? Former Blackhawks captain Jonathan Toews, just very introspective in that almost 4.5 minute clip, just talking about the reception and his return. And obviously the Winnipeg Jets, they had a big 2 points that they were trying to get because of how behind the eight ball they are. But it was just a really cool moment that Toews, the one thing that I noticed, Jack, during that first TV timeout of the video tribute and then the ovation that lasted 3.5 minutes, he just looked like he was in such a great place mentally, like he was able to take it all in. And something that he was outspoken about after his time in Chicago had ended was how much pressure that he put on himself as a young captain with the Blackhawks, and just even as the captain of the Blackhawks, even when he became a veteran on the team, how much pressure that he put on himself to perform on the ice, that he was never really able to stop and smell the roses. And it was cool to see him just enjoying himself last night. Like, I was watching him during pregame warmups, and he might have thrown like 10 to 15 pucks in the crowd. Like, he was just absorbing the love that he was getting from the fan base, you know, smiling when he was skating. He did an interview before the game with Darren Pang on the on ice, and he said his heart was pounding, but he was smiling, like he was enjoying himself. And then the TV timeout happens in the ovation, and he just kind of, he's looking around. You can see him inhaling, exhaling, like just he wants to take it all in. And I think that's something that he wasn't able to do very much during his time with Chicago, because it was always, he was just so driven towards just wanting to win the next game, and just so focused on the process, that it was nice to just see him exhale a little bit and just absorb the appreciation that the Chicago fans were able to shower him last night.
Yeah, what do you say? You have to get a piece of your cake or something in the post game or enjoy it or whatnot. And it was cool to see. You could tell it really meant a lot to him. And what I noticed was during the Canadian anthem, they showed him and everyone started cheering. And I think you saw him smile real briefly. Yep. And you never see that. So I think it meant a lot to him. And I think he was happy to get that first welcome back tribute video out of the way and then focus on playing. But it was cool. It was cool to be a part of. It was cool that the place was packed for warmups, and it's rarely like that. And everyone wanted to see him back, and it was weird to see him in a white and blue jersey instead of the red one we're used to. But he did really take a moment to appreciate it. And I think you're right. He was just kind of in go mode when he was here. And especially the last few years were hard for him with what he was going through. And I think he was just trying to battle to be out on the ice. And now he's taken a few years off, and he looks healthy, and it looked like he was moving all right. And he's been playing really well, too, before he came in, scoring four straight or something, and then had it snapped the game before. But he's doing well, and it was cool to see some of these guys. Like you had the Banner night lead right into Taves night, which was a nice scheduling opportunity there for the Blackhawks to kind of honor that whole era. And whenever he retires, I'm sure it's going to be another party at the UC when they retire his jersey. But while he's still playing, it was nice for him to get his due and just really show how loved he was, because the ending was kind of, I don't know if it was abrupt, but they were really turned the page hard there when they traded Kane and then he was done at the end of that year. So, and then he's just gone for a couple of years. Now he's back playing, and he got that hero's welcome back, I guess, as you could say. And it was a cool moment for sure.
Yeah, it was a memorable way for him to end his Blackhawks career, the way that the United Center, that he got that ovation. But there was also like a part of me that was like, he just wasn't the same player at the end. And so to see him in the state that he is now, where he is playing well, he looks mentally refreshed after the couple years off, it's nice to see, like from afar, just watching it. It's nice to see that he's able to return and kind of go out on his terms. And so I think the entire city of Chicago is rooting for him, and he's made such a big impact on this city. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy, and just what he's meant to the community. I want to share a quick story yesterday from morning skate. So just peeling back the curtain a little bit. So we typically, obviously, I typically do the pregame coach interview with Jeff Blashill, a one-on-one for our pregame show for every home game. And typically that happens right before the Blackhawks open up the locker room. Sometimes, Jeff will have some meetings and I'll go inside the Blackhawks locker room, and then they'll notify me when Jeff is ready. So in this case, the Blackhawks locker room opens up. I go inside, talking to a couple players, and then I get notified by the Blackhawks PR that Jeff is ready. So I go outside and I'm waiting outside the coach's locker room, waiting for it to open because it's obviously locked. And I spot Jonathan Taves. He's standing outside the hallway talking to an assistant coach, and they're looking at a laptop. So it looked like they were going over some video. Well, right when it ended, Taves ends up turning around. It's like literally just him, the coach, and then it's me, and then like there are a couple trainers that are, they're walking back and forth. And I spot him and I kind of give a wave, and he looks at me and he turns around, and like, I was just maybe expecting like a little wave back. He ends up turning around, walks towards me, comes, shakes my hand, and is like, "Hey, how you doing? Like, great to see you." And just strikes up a little conversation. And he didn't have to do that. I mean, there's probably so much going on in his mind. Like, the last thing I wanted to do was bother him in a day that's going to be so chaotic for him. But I appreciated that, something so minor like that, where he, you know, it felt like he was doing that throughout the day, where he was, you know, shaking up the security guards, or when he was walking inside the United Center later on for the game, like he saw the longtime Blackhawks photographer Chase and he dapped him up, you know. So it was just cool. Like that moment, he was able to kind of give back a little bit and just make sure that he showed his appreciation for even the guys that were behind the scenes. And so I really enjoyed that moment with Taze, but also just, I think that speaks volumes to the character that he has.
Yeah, he was doing the same thing when me and Tony were coming back up from the locker room, because he went up into the crowd to see his family and friends and whatnot, and then he was coming back down where the Zamboni entrance is, and he was shaking everybody's hand, to the security guards and operations people who were letting him run through there. He was shaking them, saying, like, "Good to see you," and he didn't have to do that. I mean, the Jets are playing on a back-to-back. They're probably waiting on him, you know, and right. He still took the time to thank everyone. So that just shows what kind of person he is, even when there's no cameras or microphones in front of him.
Absolutely. All right. I want to plug a sponsor really quick. We're going to elaborate more a little bit on this later on in the show, but the injury report is sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Injured after hours, they've got you covered with access to their clinical team beyond regular clinical hours. Learn more at IBJI.com. Hopefully the stomach bug has run its course with the Blackhawks. So we haven't seen any of the guys have been dropping because of that the last several days, which is encouraging news. But Teuvo Teravainen, he did miss his third straight game last night because of an upper body injury. Hopefully he will be back soon. Andre Burakovsky also did not play last night. It sounds like a family illness is going through his house, and so he wanted to play it safe, and maybe he was affected by it too. And then we're going to have a full Frank Nazar update later on in the show when the Blackhawks return to practice tomorrow. But coming up next, Jack and I are going to talk about the stud Chicago Sport athletes that were in the building last night, Caleb Williams and PCA. We're going to talk about that when Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be continues on after this on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Meliotis and Jack Heinrich here with you, recapping a very memorable Blackhawks weekend. And we talked on the first segment about the return of Jonathan Toews and the ovation he got. But there was also another ovation that came early in the first period when word got out that Chicago Bears superstar quarterback Caleb Williams was in the house sitting front row. And who was sitting next to him, Jack? It was PCA from the Chicago Cubs. He was wearing a Connor Murphy number 5 red jersey. Caleb Williams wearing a number 98 Connor Bedard jersey. I love seeing what's been happening with the young Chicago superstars lately, where it seems like they're all supporting each other. And specifically with the Blackhawks, Cubs, and Bears, their trajectory is on the rise. And it's been fun to see them all kind of support each other. Like on before Saturday's game, Connor Bedard showed up to the United Center wearing an all-orange Caleb Williams jersey. And then you have Caleb Williams returning the favor on Monday wearing a Connor Bedard jersey sitting front row. So we were in the building for it last night. And the second they showed Caleb and PCA, well, first they showed Caleb on the video board, and the crowd just went absolutely berserk. And then Caleb Williams is pointing to his right, asking the camera to zoom out. And sure enough, camera zooms out and it's PCA and like another crowd, like it just goes on to up to a higher level. Just an amazing experience last night that I genuinely am not sure what exactly happened in the first period on the ice because I was so distracted at everything that was going on off of it.
I was too. Me and Tony in the back row there were just trying to figure out what was going on. And no, I don't know if anybody was looking at the ice there at the beginning of the game because, like you said, we get word Caleb's there. We find out where he is. And we were wondering if they're going to show him or not. And then they kind of just snuck it in on a whistle. I think there was a whistle break and or like a break in the action or whatever, getting ready for a face-off. And they just threw up the Bears thing, good, better, best, and showed Caleb. And then you could tell he didn't know he was on the video board because he was kind of looking around when everyone started yelling. Then he looked up and then he saw it. And then you could tell he was amped. He dropped something you can't say on the radio, but he got everybody riled up. And then he got PCA on there as well. And he's one of the most popular athletes in Chicago as well. And yeah, the young movement is cool. Cause I mean, all these guys are the same age. I think we saw it. Didn't Chris Chelios talk about it in the 90s when him and like MJ and some of the Bulls were hanging out?
Yep.
It's hopefully can be kind of that same vibe where everyone's winning and hanging out. And Modest Buzelis on the Bulls too, a young player. He's from Chicago. He's been he's hung out with Caleb too in the summer as well. I don't know if he's hung out with PCA, but Caleb's kind of really getting around to the sports teams around here, showing support for him. It kind of feels like when you're in college, and I guess if you're an athlete on like the basketball team, and then you show up to the football game, and then you show up to like the soccer game, it's, right. It kind of feels like that kind of vibe. And I'm here for it. It's fun and it's cool when everyone's connected, especially at CubsCon. The Bears were a big topic there, and I think there was 4 or 5 Cubs players there at the game on Sunday, and then some of them have come to the Hawks games. Like we saw, I think Alex Bregman went to a Cubs game, a Bulls game, Cubs convention, and then he went to the Bears game. So it's cool that everyone's kind of moving around because, you know, everyone's not everyone's a Cubs fan, but everyone's like rooting for teams in Chicago. Now your athletes are going to it too. It just it makes you love them even more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw Caleb, I guess, had posted on Instagram that he was sitting front row, like right after warmups ended. And so that's when word started to get out that he was there. But it was never like a big announcement or like, oh, Caleb's here. And once word got out, like you mentioned, they end up putting him on the video board, but it was right before the puck was about to drop. So the crowd just absolutely erupts. Play goes on, and some players were like a little confused as to what was going on. It kind of reminded me of when I was in Edmonton for the Blackhawks Oilers game, and they were airing Game 7 of the World Series between the Blue Jays and Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
And they thought that the Blue Jays had won the World Series, so the crowd went crazy, and all the players were confused as to what was happening. That's kind of what happened here, where the puck dropped, play continued on, and just like the crowd absolutely erupts, and everyone's kind of confused as to what happened. I think Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill said he thought a fight was breaking out somewhere, and he was like wondering where like what he was missing. And sure enough, then an icing happens, and fortunately that happened because they just the Hawks were able to continue to keep Caleb on the video board, and it just led to them eventually panning over to PCA, and it led to an even bigger ruckus. So just really cool that they were able to be there. And then, of course, we find out afterwards that Caleb and PCA end up going inside the Blackhawks locker room to visit with some of the players. And it looked like some of the players were just starstruck, that like Oliver Moore, I guess, was one of the guys that he was like, holy cow, like that was such a cool experience. And it looked like Connor Bedard did sign Caleb Williams' jersey.
He did. I saw a picture, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I saw that trickle out earlier today. So just really cool to see all those athletes mingling. And the fact that Caleb was there like a day after they got eliminated from the playoffs, and just the crowd eruption, it was like almost showering him with appreciation for what he brought to the city of Chicago too. And hopefully now Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks can do the same thing and reciprocate that kind of energy that the Bears initiated.
I think everybody's been talking about building off that energy, because when I think Jed Hoyer said it, he's like, the Cubs were in the playoffs, so we had a little energy, and the Bears have kind of taken it to another level. And I think it's cool how the teams are like, yeah, we want to keep riding this momentum. I mean, you got to take whatever you can in professional sports, right? If one team's doing good, and maybe it can motivate you to be better. And all these guys are the same age too, so it's like they could be hyping each other up. But that picture this morning from the Blackhawks Twitter account, they always tweet like "Good morning, Chicago," you know, like after a win. But they threw that one with, I think it was like Nick Foligno, Nick Lardis, Nazar, Oliver Moore, Bedard with Caleb and PCA. That made the rounds, I think, on MLB's account, on NHL's account, the Bears, like it was everywhere. So good vibes. And I mean, the Hawks, I mean, I feel like this is in the background. They got a big 2-0 shutout win. Spencer Knight's great, but hopefully they can keep riding this momentum into this next week.
Yeah, for sure. The shutout victory kind of put a bow on it all, knowing that the Hawks snapped their losing skid, and Connor Bedard gets the empty net goal, so he snapped a 5-game goal drought. So just great vibes all around, like you mentioned. And the great vibes started, if we rewind to Saturday, because that was the centennial celebration night for the Blackhawks. Where
feels
they were
so long ago.
Oh, Jack, you were. It seriously does feel like it was a week and a half ago. Like, that's how long these last 72 hours have been, 96 hours have been in Blackhawks world. And it was just such a cool day to be a part of, because I get there at morning skate, and I already see some of the guys that are trickling in, because they were able to skate on the ice in the afternoon before the game later at night. The Stanley Cup was even there. So I saw guys like Andrew Shaw and Dustin Byfuglien and Colin Fraser, and all these guys were rolling in for morning skate. Brent Seabrook was there watching morning skate. Then we leave. We go back to the arena, and just 25 plus Stanley Cup alumni were in the house, and the pregame ceremony was just spectacular yet again. Just the way they divided it up by team, 2010, 13, 15, and then bringing out the core players that had won all three Stanley Cups. And it was just a really cool opportunity. I mean, there were some guys that arrived for this. Marcus Kruger specifically, where he's legitimately still playing in the Swedish Hockey League.
That was nuts.
That was crazy. He played a game on Thursday night, then flew to Chicago afterwards to be a part of the weekend. Obviously, I think he missed a game for his Swedish Hockey League team. And he said that weekend, because they had other activities going on, like they all hung out on Friday. They had a dinner event on Friday night. Things were happening Saturday. I imagine Sunday there was a little bit like whatever carryover there was too. And Marcus Kruger said that was one of the best couple days of his life, because of just reuniting with all the guys that he hasn't been able to see since winning those Stanley Cups. And so just a really cool moment. And then we never see a guy like Dustin Byfuglien either at the United Center. So just awesome to get all those guys in one room. And again, Chicago was able to show their appreciation for what those guys did for the city of Chicago.
Yeah, that brought back a lot of memories. I mean, I was growing up here, and I was in high school when they were winning, or junior high when 2010. So it was cool to see those guys, especially Big Buff. That was cool to see him back, because I liked him a lot as a kid, and he rarely is here in Chicago, I think you said. So him making an appearance was really cool to see, and just getting those guys back together just brought back so many memories, and the ceremony was great, and seeing those old highlights throughout the game. The Hawks do like these player profiles, and they're all based on those guys from back in the cup winning team. So it was a cool walk down memory lane. Unfortunately, the game wasn't that great, but they had the Stanley Cup there, and I think they showed the suite once, and Brian Bickle just threw it up there, and everyone went nuts. So that was a cool moment.
Yeah, and at one point during the intermissions, all the fans were flocking towards the seats, because, or towards the suite where Bickle and Shaw and a bunch of other guys were, and they were just signing autographs. And there were fans that were like dropping jerseys from the 300 level to get it signed by the guys in the suite, and the guys would just throw them back up to the 300 level. So it was, they were like rock stars in that. It felt like just the Stanley Cup was there. The fans were just, they were just following wherever the crowd was. Like, we saw Duncan Keith and Marian Hossa on the Thursday night game. They were in the building, and fans were just, you know, peppering them with pictures and autographs during the first intermission. So this weekend was just absolutely amazing to kind of reminisce on those times. And hopefully the Blackhawks are able to kind of piggyback on that energy. And of course they did that on Saturday night, or on Monday night, in a 2-0 victory against the Winnipeg Jets. But boy, Jack, this weekend has felt like 2 weeks, like based on everything that has happened and like all the energy that has been put into a lot of these nights.
Yeah, I'm exhausted, but we need more weekends like this. So we need the Hawks keep playing well, the Bears, the Bulls, everyone, because when the sports teams are playing like this, the city is electric, and I don't want it to stop.
I am right there with you. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich wrapping things up here, but we want to do so with a quote from Jonathan Toews. He was asked about this on Monday morning, obviously reflecting on his time in Chicago and his community and what he's meant to the city. But also he was asked about Connor Bedard and the expectations that have been put on him and the pressure that he has had ever since he broke into the NHL. I thought Jonathan Toews' response to that question was really insightful. Here is the former Blackhawks captain on Connor Bedard.
I mean, I can't compare anything that I went through to what the pressure he's been under since he was a junior hockey player. So I can't imagine. Only one guy knows what that's like, and that's him. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible to see, you know, how he keeps raising his game too. And he's not even, what is he, 20 or whatever he is now, and he's been in the league for almost 3 years now. And you know, the pressure that's on him and what he walks around with every day. It's not an easy way to grow up as a young man, but. From afar, it looks like he's doing a heck of a job.
Boy, he absolutely is doing a heck of a job. And Jack, we talk about the pressure that Bedard has faced in the NHL, especially as the number one overall pick. But even just prior to that, just being labeled the next generational player in the NHL or future generational player in the NHL. And when Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, when they were breaking into the league, there was no social media that was putting a lot of pressure on these young players, right? And they could kind of just be in the weeds, grow their games away from the spotlight. Then when they got to the NHL, they were able to just be normal kids. Connor hasn't had that, right? Like the spotlight has been on him since he was a really young kid, especially in junior hockey, when he was essentially selling out NHL arenas as when he was playing with the Regina Pats. And so I thought it was really cool to hear Jonathan Toews, who had those early expectations placed on him at being a captain at 20 years of age, but even him recognizing that I didn't have near the pressure that Connor Bedard has faced trying to be the face of a franchise at such a young age, and also in the time that he has grown up doing it. So just a really insightful answer there by the former Blackhawks captain, who can speak to that matter because he lived it 20 years ago, but not to the same level that Connor Bedard has.
It is interesting to get his perspective. I kind of forgot how much, like, how well he was or how good it was to listen to him talk hockey, like, after a game. And a humble leader he is, too, saying, like, oh, I didn't have, like, what he did. It's like, well, you were the original sixth captain at 20 years old, and then you're winning cups, like, right after that. So it is crazy what Bedard has faced. It does feel like it's calmed down a little bit. I mean, his rookie year was just wild. It seemed like everywhere he went, he needed to talk, and now it's kind of calmed down a little bit, and he's kind of found his groove. But it is cool to hear kind of from the past legend what he has to think about Bedard, and then and post game too, what we played earlier, what he thought about the team as well, playing against them a few times and being in the same division, and just hearing his insight was cool to hear.
All right, last thing. Some good news for the Blackhawks potentially on the horizon with the looming return of Frank Nazar, who has been out since December 20th, so exactly a month from today after he took that slap shot to the lower jaw area in Ottawa. He was a full participant at Blackhawks practice over the weekend, and the Hawks were off today. They will practice tomorrow, then they will travel to Carolina where they will play, and then Friday will be a second of a back-to-back in Chicago against Tampa Bay before they play on Sunday against the Florida Panthers. So the Hawks are going to start a 3-game in 4-day stretch on Thursday. Feels like Frank Nazar is trending toward a return either Thursday or Friday, Sunday at the very latest, which is a really encouraging news because originally it was unclear whether or not Frank Nazar was going to return before the Olympic break, but now all signs point to him returning in the very near future. I'm sure after practice happens tomorrow, we'll get a better idea of what his status is going to be. And boy, the Blackhawks are going to really need Frank Nazar to get back to the level that he was playing at the beginning half of the season, because maybe not right away, but it would be ideal if it was right away, because this schedule coming up for Chicago is really, really difficult. I mean, it's about to be a gauntlet. They got Carolina Thursday, the Tampa Bay Lightning on Friday, the Florida Panthers, the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers on Sunday. Then they got the Minnesota Wild in Minnesota on Tuesday, one of the best teams in the entire Western Conference. They got the red-hot Pittsburgh Penguins, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who haven't lost a single game yet under new head coach Rick Bonus. Then they got San Jose and Columbus again before they go into the Olympic break. So really busy stretch here for the Blackhawks against some really strong opponents. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Our next show is going to be Monday, January 26th at 6 p.m.